Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
While traveling along the roads of North Mississippi, be sure to spot the Oil Drop logo for your next stop. All D's Oil locations are locally owned and operated. D's Oil, where there's quality in every tank.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
From the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, I'm Kelly Sander along with producer engineer Jeremy Graves. Happy New Year to you and yours. This is radio. Obviously, you can't see what's taking place, but I just want you to know I am not wearing a tuxedo. You'll see all the news anchors tonight, you know, wearing their tuxedos like they're actually important. And like they're actually going somewhere. The only thing I have to decide is what I'm going to wear to my living room tonight. You get to be a certain age where, you know, you're lucky to see the ball drop at all, even on videotape. On the program, Dave Nichols will be joining us in just a moment, a long radio personality that has covered Southern Miss since the eons of time. Yeah, he's my age, so I'm telling you, we're old. We're going to cover quite a bit on the history spectrum today. Later on in the program, Jimmy Carpenter will join us, the former pro at Van Hook Golf Course. Southern Miss used to own that area that is called the Van Hook Golf Course. Well, they still own it. They're just using it for different purposes. His father, James Ray Carpenter, was acting president of the PGA of America. And he'll be talking about the upcoming fantasy golf draft that you golf fans can participate in if you haven't already. A lot of fun talking on the show today. And then we're going to recap the Eagles' big win last night over William Carey. Boy, the Crusaders played really well. And Steve Knight said if they could make some shots that they would be tough for Southern Miss to handle. The Eagles do come away with a win, but now they will head to the road for a couple of Sun Belt games. This first segment brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Dickey's Barbecue Pit is a big fan of Southern Miss Athletics and a big fan of this program, and we highly recommend them to everybody. The number of side dishes that you can choose to spruce up the great meats that Dickey's has there for you is certainly a plus. Dickey's Barbecue Pit, cooked here and loved everywhere. As we mentioned, Dave Nichols joins us now. Dave Nichols, a lot of people might know as the former mayor of Monticello, where it just feels like home, over in Lawrence County. But way back in the day, there was a radio station which is now known as Rock 104 in the Laurel Hattiesburg market. The studio is now housed in Laurel. But at one time, it was known as Y-104. It was owned by different people, and the studio was on the bypass between Hattiesburg and Peddle, the Highway 42 bypass. And it is there where I met Dave Nichols back in the mid-1980s. And Dave and other media people at the time were really the gurus as far as covering Southern Miss athletics. And that's where we met, and that's where we're going to start this story. As we welcome you, I have to call you mayor, because anybody that's retired from a political position, and it's not like you had it on a six-month interim basis. You were mayor of Monticello for
20 years.
And that, look, that in and of itself says something about your work ethic. But Dave, the Y-104 days, and we mentioned the Y-104 days because that probably in Southern Miss history was the peak of both the football program and the basketball program. The Reggie Colliers, the start of the Nasty Bunch, and then MK Turk and the NIT run came through. What sticks out to you most about those days of the mid to late 80s? So there was probably the most prolific era, yes?
Oh, no doubt the most prolific era in modern times. No doubt about that. But I would say what sticks out is the excitement of the community. Because we've had some success since then, not sustained success like we would like to have, but we've had some success, but you just really haven't seen the community get as excited as they did during those runs of the 70s, 80s, and then into the 90s. I mean, it was nothing to have 25, 28, 30,000 people at The Rock, at Reed Green, at the Greenhouse, as we called it back then. I mean, sellouts were commonplace. And because of the success, because of the excitement in the community, there were many times in the basketball in the heyday, you know, we were on CBS. You know, we just weren't on ESPN and their little affiliate stations. We were in some, I mean, we had some wars with Memphis and Louisville back when Danny Crum was there Bob Huggins at Cincinnati. I mean, we had some wars with those
Florida
people.
State, South Carolina.
Florida State, Virginia, when Virginia Tech, when Bimbo Coles was there.
Del Curry. Stephen Curry. Curry's dad.
So I say we were on primetime TV back then. And I mean, you could go anywhere that people weren't talking Southern Miss athletics.
Actually, you were kind of on the cutting edge media-wise. And I don't say this to be patronizing, but it's just a fact that now when it seems to be standard procedure where radio stations will have a post-game show, if you will, once the radio play-by-play guy is done with all of their things, then local radio stations will cut to their guy. Let's take, you know, Bobby Hebert and the late great Buddy DiLiberto.
Yeah.
You know, where the fans would get on the radio and complain about this call or applaud that call. You actually put together and was the first person to do a show like that for Southern Miss fans, and the fans loved it, but a lot of radio executives were not real keen on this idea.
So, yeah, they were really afraid of the fans because they were afraid the fans would get on there and complain too much, and it would kill excitement for the program. And I disagree with that. You know, the old saying goes, you know, whether you're talking good about me, as long as you're talking about me. You know, makes a lot of sense, especially in college athletics. And so we did that show for 1 year, got you to be the co-host. You and I were doing that. We did it from the lobby of the Holiday Inn up on Highway 49. And it started slow because it was new and people didn't know about it. And we were actually on, I can't remember, 6 or 8 other stations throughout the state. It wasn't just here in the Hattiesburg market. And as the season went on, we were getting calls from Vicksburg and Jackson and the Delta, and people bought into it. And it meant, I tell you what, I had a blast doing that show. Now, what was always funny about it, if you'll remember this, because I was still doing the PA announcing for the football games, and so I'd have to wrap that up, and I would always be able to get the stats, because I'm there in the press box, so I'd have the final stats, and then I would hightail it over to the Holiday, and we'd have the final stats, and we'd come on, and we'd talk about those, and the calls would start coming in. And so, yeah, and like I say, now Mississippi State does it, Ole Miss does it. It's like you say, the Saints, all the pro teams do it, but we don't do it here at Hattiesburg.
But some of the pushback from radio executives in particular, is I said, well, you know, we're in a small town, and we don't like to criticize. And we have to have a working relationship with these coaches, and the coaches aren't going to like it. But Dave, that wasn't necessarily true far as the coaches not liking it.
No, it was not true at all. We had some of the coaches that would come on. We would bring them in when they'd finish what they were doing in the locker room, and it was always towards the last segment of the show. But we had coaches either join us via the phone or come live there at the Holiday Inn, and so the coaches were glad to come on and do it. Here's something that I firmly believe about, and I don't care what level of athletics it is. The more publicity you can get via a radio or TV newspaper, the more excitement is going to build for your program. And I think people lose sight of that. I'll give you a great example of that. I started in radio back in 19. Well, I started prior, but World War One. Back in the day, you used to have a license to work on the radio.
Yes.
You had to go to the FCC, and you had to take a test and get a license. Third-class radio telephone operator's permit with a broadcast endorsement. Elements 1, 3, and 9 is what you had to pass to get that license. In 1973, I was the youngest licensed DJ, disc jockey as we called him, in the United States of America at the age of 13. The big wig, WIGG.
In Wiggins.
Southern Miss affiliate, yep. And so my dad managed the station, and nobody had carried anything at Stone High. They just didn't do it. And so my dad said, we're going to buy in. We're going to cover everything they do, football, basketball, baseball, the whole nine yards.
Shout out to the Tomcats, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Stone High Tomcats. And next thing you know, as we're doing this, more people get excited. More people start showing up for the games, people listening. And the program got better. The athletics got better. And so the more that radio, TV, newspaper buys in coverage, whether good or bad, people get excited about it, and the next thing you know, your program is taking a step up.
I remember when Harry Breland, the longtime baseball coach at Oak Grove High School, a reporter asked him one time, when did Oak Grove baseball really become legitimate besides the state championships? He said, when we had every one of our games broadcast on the local radio station, that's when you know you've hit the big time.
Yep.
And that just goes to what, you know, to what you were saying. Now, Dave Nichols also, besides all the different hats that he wore, he mentioned about being the PA announcer, but it wasn't a guy by the name of Dave Nichols behind the mic. It was the same body, but it was a different name. We're going to talk about that, more about some of the good old times at Southern Miss with Dave Nichols when the Eagle Hour continues after this short timeout.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
The boss man, Bob Getty, will return on Thursday. We will have a best of program for you tomorrow on New Year's Day. And as I was talking to Jeremy Graves before the show in a production meeting, how do we determine a best of this program?
But they're also good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Well, I, you know, when I'm in the, and I can pick up the Laurel station in Columbia.
99.3.
Fairly well.
Yeah.
And so when I'm there, if I'm out of the, when I'm in the office, I don't have the radio on. But when I'm out in the car, I have it on. And so I do get to listen more than you know.
Well, the show that they're going to air tomorrow is the real close, up close and personal interview with Coach Christian Ostrander, baseball writer. Around the corner now as we turn the calendar tomorrow, believe it or not. This segment of the program brought to you by Campus Bookmart. They're online, available at your service 24 hours a day at Campus Bookmart with a T, campusbookmart.net. You can buy it, ship it anywhere. If you don't want to go to the bright yellow building right across from the main campus on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, they've also upped for another year. We're glad to have Campus Bookmart with us as part of the program. Kelly Sander from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, continuing our discussion with the mayor, Dave Nichols, 20-year mayor of the town of Monticello, where
It just feels like home.
That's right. Had to get that in there,
yeah,
because that's
absolutely,
that's on every sign as you go into Monticello. We talked about you being a public address announcer, but you look a lot like the guy that used to sit behind the mic. But the guy that sat behind the mic, his name was Nick Davis, not Dave Nichols. So tell us about the genesis of Nick Davis.
So how that happened, again, as I mentioned a little while ago, my dad was in radio. And so he was on the air. I was on the air. Going to be kind of hard to have. And I'm named after my dad.
Your son is named after you.
And my son is named after me. And so it was going to be kind of hard to have two Dave Nichols on the air because he went by Dave Nichols. And so we sat there and kicked around. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so we just inverted it. Nick Davis. And it worked and stuck, and that's kind of how that happened.
And actually, a lot of when, with all due respect, back in those glory days of rock and roll,
most DJs did not use their own name.
Correct. And that's where I was going with this.
Yes.
And lots of times.
And they would do that because, again, back in the glory days, like you were saying, like you mentioned at the very beginning, you can't see us. Well, in the glory days of radio, TV was not as big as it is now,
right.
And radio personalities were actually the movie stars
yes.
of today.
Yes, they were.
And so DJs were not inclined to use their own names, so when they were out in public, they would not be mobbed, because that would happen. You would be trying to have a, you know, supper with your wife, your girlfriend, you know, whatever, and next thing you know, there's a mob around you, and you just can't enjoy what you're trying to do. And so they use different names.
And to these younger listeners, there used to be a thing called the phone book.
Yeah.
Where everybody's name and number was in that phone book.
Unless you paid extra to have an unlisted number.
And if you were a celebrity, like back in the day, and you put your real name, your air name, if you put that in the phone book, then everybody would be calling you.
And look, when you're a mayor, everybody's calling you. You know, because I had a cell phone. Of course, I had, and I kept a home phone the entire time I was mayor. Because again, I'm the people's public servant.
Right.
And if you need to call me, call me. Well, trust me, they would at any given time of day or night.
There wasn't a pothole in that whole county that you didn't know about.
I knew about it. Well, the most calls we get would be about dogs barking. You got time to share a story about dogs barking?
We don't.
Okay.
Actually, because I want to talk about Southern Miss.
Okay. Yeah.
Your days as the PA announcer. Now, not only do you have to be a sports fan to be a good PA announcer? I ask that because you are a sports fan.
Well, I mean, I played high school sports.
You've also officiated.
I played collegiate sports. I've officiated. I've announced. I think it makes you a better PA announcer, play-by-play guy, color commentator if you have played, but you don't have to have played. I mean, there's plenty of people that have been just students of the game that know it real well and do a great job doing it. And so, no, you don't have to, but I do think it helps.
But when you go back to the early days, Dave, when we were talking at Y104, there were also guys at WHER, Farley Shaw, who
I worked with him.
Who used to be at this station at Super Talk. When John Cox was actually doing a morning sports gig at WHER.
Yeah.
There was Blake Hooper was at Y104.
Weird Wayne Michaels.
Yes. Yeah, Weird Wayne and Strange Sheila. His wife at the time.
Still married.
Yes. How about that after all these years? But it's interesting how, though, in those years, that even though you're a fan and even though you still had to be, you couldn't really say anything really as to how you felt until that radio show, which was called Eagle Chat,
right.
After this, that was really the only time that you could really tell people how you felt about things.
Because as the public address announcer, you're not there to opine. You are there to let them know what's going on, who's in the game, different. I mean, believe it or not, well, I can look on the scoreboard and see how many timeouts are left. You would probably be shocked the amount of people don't know the timeouts are on the scoreboard and how many are left. You would be shocked to know in basketball that how many people don't know you get five fouls and you'd foul out and Weatherspoon has three, so he's going to the bench to save him, you know, for later in the ball game. And so you're trying to portray that information in a way that's not intrusive to the game but keeps people up to date. And so, again, it's not about what you think's going on. It's about what is going on.
And you've actually worked with the current public address announcer, Jackson Walker.
Absolutely. Jackson and I worked together at HERFOR. When I came back to Hattiesburg, I went to Macomb for a short period of time, drove back and forth to Hattiesburg to do the PA stuff. And then Jackson was doing the baseball public address announcing. I was doing football and basketball. And I would fill in on baseball when Jackson would have to be out.
So because of it just requires your voice, And many play-by-play guys will last, you know, at the network level, they'll last into their 80s because the voice is still rich and thick. What made you give it up? Because you could have stayed for a long time.
Children. My children were born. You mentioned my son, David. He has a sister, Erin. They're twins. And like I said, we didn't have them when I was in Macomb. But then I came back to Hattiesburg, married my wife, Donna. It was my dad and I's dream to have our own radio station, to own one together. He was killed before that could happen. I still wanted to carry it out. I bought the radio station in Monticello. That's how I got to Monticello, Mississippi. And then my children were born, and I was missing time with my children. Things they were doing, coaching them. David was a very good soccer player, very good golf player, decent football player. And I was missing coaching them, missing going to their games. Erin was a cheerleader. She did forensics, speech, and things like that. And I was missing their events. And I said, I'm not going to do that.
You've lived through those glory years. This, I think anyone would say, not necessarily the glory years.
No.
But how would you currently describe the state of Southern Miss athletics, Dave?
Ooh, how would I currently describe the state of Southern Miss athletics? I would say
the politician in his mind is, how do I answer this question, right?
Well, I mean, you see, because everybody thinks athletics, they think of the big three, football, basketball, baseball. But there's much more to that in athletics. And being a sports kind of guy, I know that. So if I would speak to the big three, I would say outside of baseball, it has been in somewhat of disarray the last 5 to 10 years. But it looks like, outside looking in, because I'm not connected to the university like I used to be, outside looking in, it looks like they've turned a corner and are taking the steps to come back to a time of relevance.
How would you describe the hiring of Charles Huff?
I'm excited about Huff. I'll say this. He was not my first choice. I was all for Derek Nix coming back. Okay, I'll say it. Not afraid to say that. He has been a very successful coach, very successful recruiter. A lot of people say, you know, it's not good to hire former players because if it does go south, it makes for bitter feelings and things like that. I'm willing to take that gamble. So I was rooting for Derek Nix. I like Huff. Again, being a sports guy, I know, and I'm not putting anybody down because
right.
There's plenty of folks out there that know more than me, okay?
Sure.
Y'all, it's not easy to win at Marshall. You ever been there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I have.
I figured you had, okay?
Yeah.
Y'all, Hattiesburg puts that area to shame, okay? It is not easy to win at Marshall. And he did it consistently. And so, and again, people know this. You've talked about it on the show. History. First time we've ever hired somebody with head coaching experience at the Division I level. We've had some with lower
right.
levels, but at
right.
Division I. And so I'm excited. I do feel like, and this is another reason why I wanted Nix. And look, I get it. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a stepping stone. He's here 3 to 5 years and he's gone. And that's where if the program's not on the right track, we could be right back where we were in the doldrums.
But I don't think people have a problem with it being a stepping stone if the coach that leaves it in a better shape.
Correct.
Yeah.
Nick is coming, so I can't say what else I got to say.
Well, I'm going to put you as a co-host the rest of the show, if you don't mind sticking around.
Absolutely.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with Jimmy Carpenter about golf, the old Van Hook Golf Course, as long as we're taking a trip down memory lane. Heck, let's pull out the sticks.
Absolutely.
And talk about the old Goat Ranch and about a big fantasy golf draft coming up. Jimmy Carpenter joins us on the Eagle Hour next.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. I heard that there are some college football playoff games that are going to be played tomorrow night. Of course, none of them really matter because Iowa State or Southern Miss are not involved. But you know, if you want to cheer for these no-account teams like Georgia and Notre Dame, go ahead. 4th Street Bar and Grill, where everybody truly knows your name. And if you're a Southern Miss fan, that's where you want a pregame and postgame. In the shadow of the rock right over the Highway 49 Bridge on 4th Street. Dave Nichols co-hosting with me the rest of the half hour. Jeremy Graves pushing all the right buttons as producer engineer. Joining us in this segment is Jimmy Carpenter, who was not only the golf pro at the old ranch, as we call it, at Van Hook Golf Course. He served as the head golf coach at Southern Miss. His dad, James Ray Carpenter, what a man he was. Other than he would always flip me a bunch of junk every time we saw it. But it was either flip it to me because he knew I was going to flip it right back to him. Jimmy Carpenter, as we take a trip down golf memory lane. And then coming up is the 1 week from tomorrow. 1 week from tomorrow. That's Wednesday night, January 8th. At 6 p.m. at the Hattiesburg Buffalo Wild Wings, the 40th annual WDAM-TV Bill Benfield Fantasy PGA Golf Tour Draft. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Jimmy, great to talk to you, man. Happy New Year.
Kelly, thank you. Great day for golf, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it really is. I wish I was, when I was walking out these doors, I wish I was going to go be playing.
Jimmy, give us Van Hook History 101.
Oh, wow. Built in either 57 or 58, and B.O. Van Hook was one of the construction engineers and architects of the place. The soldiers down at Camp Shelby supplied a lot of the labor and the equipment to push the dirt and move it around. And so that was its beginning in about 57, and had a couple of pros. One of them was Robbie Webb operated it. Maybe 1960, 61. And then my father became the golf pro in 1964, and he ran it forever. I took over the operations in 84, and the golf course closed in 2004.
Right, we're going to talk a little bit about how uniquely it closed, but when you're talking about those early 60s at Van Hook Golf Course, I think Reed Green Coliseum was built in 61 or opened in 61, somewhere around in there, maybe a little bit later, but those were really boom times at Southern Miss overall. Jimmy, and do you know how the university got ownership of that land? Because it's not exactly on campus.
Yeah, it was a family, a boy, I can't remember the name. The lake was named after it. The family donated it to the university. And I think the owner was previously a professor at Southern Miss. The name slips me,
That's okay.
Of that lake. But anyway, family donated that property to the university. The university actually had a 9-hole sand green golf course on the site of the Reed Green Coliseum.
Now that
Fraternity Road.
Now that I did not know.
I did not know that.
Yeah, had a little 9-hole sand green, and they closed it, I want to say, in 57, 56, to build this golf course out at the current location.
And to make way for the building of Reed Green Coliseum.
Yes.
That would make sense.
You know, yes.
So when the course was first opened, Van Hook, was it 9 or 18?
It was an 18-hole course.
It was built as 18. Okay, I knew it was an 18-hole course, but I couldn't remember if it was first 9 and the back 9 was added or not.
Yeah, no. They built all 18 to go at the same time. And it kind of interesting, kind of cool. 1964, my father came in. There were 4 golf carts on the property. Everybody walked for golf back in those days.
Well, it was as much about exercise as it was about the game back then.
Yes, it's the purest form. You know, they used to all have caddies back before golf carts, and so everybody walked. It was a walking game, absolutely.
One of my favorite trivia things about Southern Miss golf, Jimmy, that I bring up all the time is most everybody, even in the modern era of golf, know who Davis Love III was, right? Ryder Cup champion and major winner. But very few people know that Davis Love II actually had some ties to Southern Miss.
He was a part of the golf coaching team. Now, he wasn't the coach. He was like an assistant coach. He came to Southern Miss, I think, to work on a postgraduate degree. And while he was here, he helped out with the golf team. I believe it was for 2 years while he was here.
Which was one of the reasons why Davis Love III would always play in the Deposit Guarantee Golf Classic when it was then.
Right.
at the Hattiesburg Country Club.
He had roots here. Yes. Some roots there. That's a cool story.
Now, we talked about how that Van Hook closed in, what, 04?
04, yes.
But it was kind of unique the way that it closed, because you kind of put, you got up on the highest mountaintop and shouted out to every golfer that's ever played the course, if you want to play this course one more time, come on out. Pick it up from there.
I did. David Lee was a golf pro. He had taken over after me, and they had talked about closing the course, and I said, look, if y'all close this course, don't just shut the doors and go home quietly. Let's blow it out. Let's make something awesome, and let's have a lot of fun with it. And, boy, I recall WDAM and the New Hattiesburg American ran articles every day about the closing of the golf course. And, Kelly, there were people. We had a six-person scramble, and Dad said, hey, this is like a funeral, so we need six people on every team, like six pallbearers on every team. We're going to have a funeral to close this golf course, and closed it the last day of March in 2004, and we filled it up in lickety-split time. Probably didn't take 3 days to fill the thing up, and it was kind of cool because we had people that were members of the golf course in every decade that came out to play in that tournament.
Jimmy,
was it so cool to see people from the 60s playing out there.
Was it a matter that the university just needed the land for expansion with some of its other departments that they were expanding, or was it a lack of profitability from the course? Tell us what you know or what you're comfortable sharing.
It's absolutely a combination. The golf course was privately managed through 1999, and the university took it over in 1999 with zero assets to operate. So everything had to be purchased new to operate a golf course. And when you go in your first years of owning and operating a golf course, the cost is astronomical compared to your revenue that you're going to generate. And so we actually operated in the red for the entire time period that it was back under the university's wing from 99 through 04. So it wasn't making a profit. It's difficult to make a profit on a golf course, especially when you come in and have to start from scratch with all new equipment, new golf carts. I mean, it was an expensive proposition.
Well, with about the 3 minutes that we have left with you, Jimmy, we want to make sure we get promoted the 40th annual WDAM-TV Bill Benfield Fantasy PGA Golf Draft coming up a week from tomorrow night, January 8th, 6 o'clock at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Kelly, I'm amazed that we have done this for 40 years. Very few little organizations can last 2 or 3 or 5 years, and we have done this for 40 years, basically the same way. We draft the players with a free-for-all draft. Once a player's drafted, he's gone, he's taken off the list, and we provide everybody the player of all the players that could play the tour in that year, and we do a draw, and it's a reasonable way we do it, and it's a lot of fun, the draw night, and then it's actually fun keeping up with it all season long.
So now Kelly's saying PGA. So it is it strictly PGA, or is LIV included with it now also?
The LIV players have to play in the PGA Tour events to get points. When the LIV Tour doesn't collect points, but some of the LIV players will play in the majors.
Right. Right. Okay.
And it's up, Dave, it's up to the team owner. Like if you and I have a team, and I have to go, is it worth drafting
this guy? Is it worth drafting this guy for maybe 2 or 3 chances to get some points?
Correct.
I got you.
Yeah. So it's great strategically.
Yeah.
You know, and it is.
It is.
And if you're just kind of a casual viewer of a PGA golf tournament on Saturday and Sunday, you become a lot more than a casual.
Oh, absolutely. How many rounds will the draft last?
I think it's 32 weeks. Rounds of the draft is 4.
Okay,
Each team that participates pulls 4 tour players to play for them during the season.
Gotcha.
And we don't swap them back out.
So
we draft 4, we keep the 4 and hold the 4.
So no trading, no dropping, no ads. Your 4 is
correct.
Your 4. So, but what if one of your guys all of a sudden, like, he gets hurt, he's out for the rest of the season?
Tell me, Nick.
You're done. You can't pick anybody to take his place.
Nope. Nobody's going to take his place.
1 year I drafted Calvin Pete. Do you remember Calvin Pete?
I do remember
Pete?
Calvin Pete. We're old, Kelly.
I know Calvin. Yeah. I didn't know you owned him.
I drafted him, and I think 3 weeks later, he went into rehab. I kid you not. And I said that was kind of the tone. I hated it for Calvin. Obviously, I wanted what's best for him. Didn't do much for my team. Hey, show up at Buffalo Wild Wings a week from tomorrow night, no later than 6 o'clock. If your team wants to participate, you can have as many people in your corporation, so to speak, as you want, and take part in this draft. It really is a lot of fun. Jimmy, Happy New Year. Thanks again, buddy.
Same to you, Kelly. Thank you very much. Dave, take care.
You too, my friend.
Bye-bye. When we come back, Dave Nichols and I will take a look at the Eagles' win over William Carey last night and tell you where the Eagles and the Lady Eagles go from here, as it's all conference games from here on out. The Eagle Hour continues in just a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
This final segment of the Eagle Hour on this Tuesday, this New Year's Eve edition, brought to you by DBAT Training, right off of Interstate 59 in Hattiesburg, right after the holidays. You know what the kids start saying, got to get ready for softball and baseball. Get in those cages, hit the curveballs, hit the changeups, fastballs. You can set the machines any way that you want them. It's always meticulously clean in there, always air-conditioned comfort. Or heated, you know, whatever the weather. And from the weather forecast, I guess, the middle of January coming up, we're supposed to have a really cold snap coming through. So we want to thank the folks at DBAT. And this reminder that the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour is Genesis of Hattiesburg. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. You can visit their all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Anytime I do these commercials, Dave, I want to break into Paul Harvey for some reason, you know, the official dealer of the Eagle Hour. Well. And then you have to take this pregnant pause. Genesis sedans and SUVs. You'll have to Google him as well. Hey, if you didn't get to join us live today, you can load the podcast, Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can just tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Nick Davis, Dave Nichols, whatever. The Eagles come up with an 80-70 win last night over William Carey. Hey, kudos to the Crusaders, man.
You know, that was their season. I mean, stop and think about that. Yeah. That's their season. They're going to go into the greenhouse. They're going to take on a Division I team. And if they can pull that upset, that defines their season.
They've done it before.
And they have done it before.
Yeah.
And so not shocked that they kept it that close. Southern's supposed to win that game,
right.
Did win the game. Not shocked they kept it that close, but I really felt like Southern probably would win it a little bit more than 10.
But what a game by Denaje Harris.
Man, he just filled it up.
We've said that this guy has been the most consistent performer for Southern Miss this year, but I don't think anybody expected him to put up the numbers. 32 points, I think, last night. 22 rebounds.
That's a heck of a double-double.
Yeah, it is. And interestingly enough, Andre Curbelo back on the floor last night. And Jeremy Graves, let's get you in here. Producer, engineer, Jeremy Graves pushing all the right buttons, as we said. What did you think of Curbelo's performance last night? A little understated, Jeremy?
Yeah, I thought he looked you know, he definitely wasn't his old self. You know, he did create some plays, saw some no-look passes and some good ball handling, but definitely not what we've seen in the past. But it was good to see him back on the court. You know, he's definitely a playmaker, and you can definitely tell a difference when he's out there.
There's never been a question about his ability. It's been his wiring.
Yeah.
What's going on between the ears? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because and one of the things that I liked that I saw last night was Nefta Alvarez penetrating deeply in the lane. You know, because they don't have a big guy, that big guy presence inside. He's drawing attention and drawing some of those fouls. Now, the Eagles didn't exactly kill it at the free throw line, which is something I'm sure, you know, they'll work on. And Nick, something the Eagles have got to work on anytime, but especially this year, they've been dismal on the road. And they're getting ready for a Thursday, Saturday this week. January 2nd, they go to James Madison, and on the 4th, they're at Old Dominion. They've got to pick up some wins on the road if they're going to.
If they have any chance of thinking they're going to do something postseason, they've got to pick up road wins. I mean, you can win. If you're 500 in the Sun Belt, that's nothing. You know, it is what it is.
Right.
If you're fighting, you know, if you win your road games, win your home games, you're nothing. You've got to pick up, in my opinion, they got to pick up about four road wins if they really want to do something in the postseason.
Well, the 1-2 seed this year, we talked about the playoff, the tournament. The Sun Belt tournament that's going to be held in March, the top two seeds get byes all the way to the semis. Okay, so it's really imperative if you're not the number one seed that you certainly get two, because that's about three less games that you could potentially have to play. So those road wins, and I wonder, Jeremy, if the fact that Curbelo was there last night didn't have a lot to do with the fact that now all the games from here on out are conference games, pretty much, other than the MAC challenge.
Yeah, it very well could be, because you know you hadn't seen anything from him, you know, recently, and then he was there last night. You know, he did not start the game. He came in, you know, shortly after it started, and he was in for a pretty good bit of the game.
And that's a good, again, nothing against Carey, because I mean, that great
right.
program
right.
at William Carey, but that's a game that you want to use to get him reacclimated to the team. That's the kind of game you want him to play in.
That's, right.
to that's fair.
Get reacclimated
yeah.
to his teammates.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. And clearly, when his mind is right, they're a much better team.
They are.
You know, with him in the lineup. But the only team that I see when you break down the Sun Belt at this point, the only team that I see that's really pulling its weight is Arkansas State. I mean, they're just playing terrific basketball.
And you ever been to their Coliseum?
I have not.
It is gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
Well, that's the team I think you're going to have to beat, you know, at this point in the Sun Belt tournament. Of course, the Sun Belt tournament winner gets the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. And are we all in agreement that if you don't win the Sun Belt tournament,
you're not in?
Yeah,
you're not in.
You're not in
that one.
You may get one of the other lesser, but you're not in.
Hey, a program note that tomorrow a best of Eagle Hour on New Year's Day, the up close and personal interview with Coach Ostrander. Then on Thursday, all the crew's back. Dima Mixon will be back. Bob Getty's back from Christmas vacation. And we chug along as we turn the calendar to 2025. If you're out tonight, certainly be safe. Be careful. Party, but not too hardy. And we'll see you back here again on Thursday. Nick, enjoyed it. Love
Thank
you, brother.
Brother. Love you,
all
too.
Right, take care.
Happy New Year.
Same to you. Jeremy?
Happy New Year.
Thanks, buddy. From all of us to all of you, Happy New Year. And until we talk to you on Thursday at 1 o'clock, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top.
Like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle. Let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.